Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Israel, the Most High, our Elohim, our Yah, is one. Shabbat Shalom to the family. And in the Hebrew tongue, I say Shema Israel, Shema Elohim, Yahuwah Echad. Let us come before his presence on this Shabbat as we gather together. This is truly a day that the Most High has made. And as many of you know, as the sun has gone down, the evening and the morning of the first day, so we have entered into this Kodesh Shabbat, this set-apart day that is made for man. I pray that you've laid your troubles down. If not so, we will pray to that effect. Sisters, with your heads covered, we're facing towards Yerushalayim to the best of our ability and understanding. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, I'm praying for the Mishpachah, the family spread throughout the four corners of the earth that are sojourning with us and are into full bloom of the Sabbath right now. Thanking you for another week that you brought us through. We're breathing, we're living, and we have another opportunity to praise you in spirit and in truth on this day, knowing that you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you that you thought of us enough to let us have what we do have to be able to survive. You didn't have to do it, but you did, Father. We thank you. We thank you on this Shabbat. We don't sit here and go to sleep and wait and talk about we wait until the sun come up. We know how you created things to happen. Work time is over. It's not party time. It's not club time. It's peace time. And we thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Father, I'm praying tonight for my people that are bound by the enemy and by Hashatan, with suppression, oppression, depression, possession of the devil, spirits they picked up this week, backsliding, falling into adultery, fornication, breaking the commandments, falling into sin, according to 1 John 3 and 2. I pray that that yoke is destroyed by the Mashiach. Well, Father, we need you. We need you. I pray that you bless the prophets that are prophesying, preaching, and speaking, but that most of all, your people are not going to the clubs, not getting turned up tonight. You said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, and pray. You also call for a solemn assembly of your people to pray for their people. And Father, I pray that the remnant will repent and come back wholeheartedly to you during this age and time of the Gentile dispensation, while we're waiting on the grafted ones to come in, that my people will wake up before you close the door. Thank you for the grace. Bless our time tonight. Bless our words. I know you watch over your word to perform it, so I believe it done. I count it done. And we thank you. We say hallelujah. In the name of our brother and Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. So be it. And his name, as we know it, is Yeshua. Yeah. Get your meditation on. Get your worship on. I know some of y'all got that pomegranate wine sitting on the side. I know a lot of you glad it's Friday and you can kick your feet up. Don't you know that's what time it is? Time to cease from using your own work. No shopping tomorrow. No cooking. Hopefully you got your cooking done. Little young ones are sitting somewhere watching some cartoons. You gave your husband a big turkey wing. Suck on. And then I'm relaxing because this is the day that the Most High has made for us to cease from our trouble and cease from wickedness. We praise Him today in a time when there's forest fires, earthquakes, political upheaval, warfare, gunfire, mass shootings. He's been good to you. He's worth. Hallelujah. I am your host, Elder V. You are tuned to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by Al Mahoida at Last Ministries House of Israel Deliverance Assembly. And I want to say welcome to our new broadcast time. It's a new season. It's a new day. We've been used to broadcasting on Saturday mornings, but all praises to the Most High that we have kicked off and acquired a place to have worship and hear the reading of the laws live like they did in Acts 13 and 15. And after we hear the reading of the laws, we're not breaking bread, using our own words, slapping high fives, slapping our knees, using our own words. We go back home like they did and continue to rest. We assemble because some people don't really wish to go to church on Sundays anymore because they know they got caught up into paganism. And they want to go and worship on Saturday on the Shabbat and then go back and rest. Well, the Most High has blessed us with an opportunity to do just that. 6101 International Boulevard in the city of Oakland, California, where it goes down. You can find us there on International and 61st at 10 a.m. every Sabbath. Better be there because once we're done, it's back to my bed. But it's a blessing to come to you tonight because this is the kickoff of the Sabbath, the Shabbat. I've had a long week, but you know what? I love having a long week because it makes the Sabbath that much more worthwhile. Blueprint for Life is a show that's designed to restore the moral fiber of our community and show us the relevance of the Ten Commandments and how they can still be utilized in our daily lives. So we will go over some of the things that they did in Acts 13. We'll do the reading of the law, but we also desire to talk to you about health. And it's so, oh man, it's so necessary right now. As many of you know, I'm in California and we are breathing in enough smoke. They say it's the equivalent. If you're outside working all day, the amount of smoke that you're breathing in is equivalent to smoking two packs of cigarettes today. And I'm praying for my people because we're going to see the effects of all these forest fires on the health of the people in the coming years. And we know that the cancer rate is soaring. This is not helping any because it's not just trees and fire. It's the chemicals that they're putting on the fire that's going up that people are breathing in and not taking this serious. So we take this health ministry very serious, trying to talk about some things that will help your heart, help your lungs, help your breathing. If you have a membership to a gym that has a steam room, I would recommend you going there a few times this week just to get that out of your lungs and to breathe that in. But we'll talk about some more of that later. So, however, Blueprint for Life, the credo that we had for the NorCal Hebrew Fellowship, restoring the cultural order and identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. It's time that you come out of the indoctrination that's been upon you, even that these camps have indoctrinated you with, and you start reading and do some research. And I don't mean press your YouTube button. Find out who we are as a people and what's expected of you. And that's what we desire to do tonight. All praises to the Most High. So before we go ahead and get into that, and before Sister Tamar falls asleep, I'm going to turn it over to her to talk about the herb of the day, and then we'll get the Deacon Abiram. And I'm going to let her go ahead and talk, and then we'll have the announcements, and I'm going to give you a brief summation of the lesson that I will be preaching, Most High willing, on the morrow over at the synagogue in Oakland at 10 o'clock. I'm going to highlight that as well, too. Okay, go ahead.
All praises to the Most High. It's another day to praise the King of Kings. Love Him so much. Thank Him for this time to allow us to go on the air this evening, be amongst the brothers and sisters. It's a new time, it's a new season, it's a new day, and we're walking in victory. So all praises to the Most High. I am Sister Tamal. This is our healing herbal segment. Herbal segment is consisted of the healing of the mind, body, and soul. We always like to say this disclaimer. We are not physicians. We are not practicing medicine. Nor are we encouraging you to do anything outside of the Most High's will. What are we encouraging you to do is keep these statutes, laws, and commandments, and these dietary laws, and take care of your body, because you only have one. Watch what you put into it, and what you're breathing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the ultimate goal is to educate our people about healing, the healing of their bodies. Not so much in the form of care. And healing doesn't just come from just herbs and eating them. It comes from the renewing of your mind and making sure that you're spiritually together. A lot of our sickness and diseases come from unforgiveness, bitterness, depression, things that are the works of the flesh. Oftentimes we think, oh, what did I eat? What did I drink to cause me to get sick? Oftentimes it's your actions. Is what you're holding on to that has caused you to get ill. So definitely, as the word said, let a man examine himself. Examine yourself. Check yourself. Make sure that you are not holding on to anything against anyone or even against yourself. Be free so you can be healed inside and out. Today we're going to talk about biblical herb called saffron. Saffron is a spice and it's spoke about in Song of Solomon. And wanted to bring that out because it has some excellent healing properties. We use saffron when we cook certain dishes. Mostly you'll see saffron in your culinary dishes from, India, Iraq, your Greek. But it's a very unique spice, very expensive spice, because of the work that it takes to produce this particular spice after it is taken off of a tree. The most impressive health benefit of saffron is that it has the ability to improve respiratory health and immune function. And what better time to go and stock up on some saffron, especially during this fire season that has started again. Doesn't seem like it left. We have beautiful skies, and all of a sudden it's filled with smoke. So make sure you get some saffron. It helps, it protects against cancer. Excuse me. It also, not only does it help with cancer, hold on one sec. Where did it go? It helps your respiratory system, like I said. Some of the other benefits that it does, it helps women when it's tends to be that time. It helps to calm and help you to feel better where you're not in pain. It helps with reducing acne. It helps promote your heart health, and it enhances your vision. So definitely, like I always say, don't take our word as golden. Do the research. Look up some of the benefits of saffron. Solomon spoke about this as just the spices. A couple of spices he also mentioned was frankincense and cinnamon. He talked about that when he was describing what was around him and what his spouse had, his many wives, I'm sure, had on them. So definitely do the research. Make sure that it's applicable for what you need during this time. I also want to encourage you, if you are in the Bay Area or even if you're in Southern Cal, California itself, go get some bee pollen. This air is nasty. I was telling Elder V that we're not only, like you said, we're getting the chemicals from what they're putting out on the fire, but we're also getting the chemicals from the burned vehicles, whatever is in people's homes. Mm-hmm. You know, all kinds of metals and things like that that we can't
Nobody's
see.
Nobody's taking that in consideration.
No.
That the gas stations are exploding.
Right.
And the cars are burning. So there's rubber, metals,
diesel,
carcinogens,
diesels,
and fuel. It's all mixed into that smoke.
Right, the stuff that they make to build the cars, all of that is going into the air, and it's coming down into our lungs. So I encourage you, I picked up some bee pollen, and it's not cheap. I ended up paying $16 for a small thing, but it definitely helped because I had a runny nose all day. And it took that bee pollen, and it has stopped. So get some bee pollen. Get some cilantro. Bought some cilantro as well. Chop it up. Chew on it to help get rid of the metals. It is important that we take care of our health. Make sure you're wearing your mask if you're outside. The smoke, the things that are in the air, is giving you headaches, nausea, you're feeling discomfort. Take care of your body. Make sure that you have fresh air going inside of your home, inside of your cars, and make sure you're drinking plenty of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key, is to, we got to be praying, asking the Most High to keep us in good health, keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments, and know that He will bless us with good health. And with that said, did you want me to do the announcement then?
Yeah.
Okay. With that said, I'm going to go into the announcements. During the week, we have a variety of shows. On Tuesday, we have a Heart of a Hebrew Woman, Denise Tamal, is bringing out scriptures pertaining to women, Titus 2, 4 and 5, 3, 4 and 5. And get an understanding of what we're supposed to be, how to become a virtuous woman, how to take care of our households, how to take care of our husbands, how to take care of the community. So definitely want to tune in every Tuesday, Most High Willing, at 4 p.m. On Wednesday is Inspirational Wednesday with Elder V and Deacon Abraham at 8 a.m. sharp. And then Most High Willing will be back here Friday, 7:30 p.m. And this is Pacific time with our new Sabbath lesson show. And on Saturdays, if you want to come out, if you're in the area, definitely drop in and see some of the amazing things that the Most High is getting ready to do in our lives. We do not want you to miss it. Again, we don't ask for donations, but if you want to give a donation, feel free. But we're all about handling the Most High's business and doing what He's asked us to do. And with that said, I'm Sister Tamal. That's your herbal segment and announcements for the week.
All praises to the Most High. I want to say something, though, and let me explain this. Hopefully you can catch this in the spirit. We're breathing in all these carcinogens and these contagions with this smoke, and it's really damaging the people. And it's so ironic that one of the cities that burnt up was called Paradise, California. And who's being affected? All the vegetarian, nature living, happy-go-lucky, free-for-all Californians who just live so, try and live so healthy and have everything, and low income here in California, in the Bay Area, is $100,000 a year. That's considered low income. And many people will say, okay, it's geoengineered. Man is doing this. Some will say this is judgment of the Most High. Let's understand that those two work together in the same, because the Most High says, I create the wicked. I reserve that for the dark day and for judgment upon the evil people, upon wicked people. I create the good and the evil for the wicked people. So there's nothing Satan or geoengineering can do unless the Most High allows it. And in this case, He will let a wicked man create such a wicked device and allow him to utilize it on Californians in the name of their depopulation to bring judgment to a group of people that do not care about the disenfranchised. So I'm praying for your protection, that your lungs are protected supernaturally. I'm praying for your healing and your protection, because He said to watch and to pray over these things. That's why He even told us to pray over our food. You need to take that much more serious, because there's an all-out concerted effort to not only destroy the original Hebrew man, but mankind as a whole in the name of depopulation. Satan does not want to see us made. So I want you to take these things serious and be diligent. This is not a time to play with Yah or His statutes, laws, and commandments. I know Deacon Abraham probably over there just patting his feet like, when is he going to bring me in? Deacon Abraham, shalom.
You're reading my mind there. I want to add something about the mask when Sister Tamar was talking about the air. Make sure that you get a mask that filters the air. Because those little dust masks are not going to do you any good. You need one that filters the air. And make sure you get the proper equipment. And I'm just I'm really excited about the the evening Shabbat. You know, we're getting started as the Shabbat starts. And so I'm really excited about this, and I'm really filled with joy that we're doing this.
Right. Yeah. Apoptosis tomorrow. I'm excited about it too for some reason in my spirit. I mean, it just feels right because the Shabbat is kicking off on Friday nights. Now, I've had a long week. I'm a little tired, but it just still feels right to move Blueprint for Life to Friday night and kick it off. And whenever people get a chance, they can come down and fellowship with us at 10 o'clock on Saturdays.
All praises.
All praises. All right, Deacon Abiram, anything else you want to share? Or other than that, it's in your hands for the reading of the law.
All right, then. Let's get on with the reading of the law. We're going to go back and finish out Leviticus 26, where the Most High was telling the people that he would, if they turn their back on him and turn their face on him, he's going to release the beast on them. And we said last time that that's the nations, the ones that are treating us horribly during this captivity. So we're going to start at.
I like you saying that. Release the beast. That kind of ties in with what I just got through saying. You know, back in Egypt, they probably thought all those things that were happening to them were natural disasters, yeah. Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. They did not realize that these were plagues. Yeah. Man will always try to explain away what is really transpiring, and that's what you're getting ready to bring out some more of, too. Plagues are being unleashed, but he will use the man will deem, oh, it's a natural disaster here in California. No, the Most High is about to tear y'all a brand new one. Go ahead.
And as we see, that recompense is happening all over the world. I mean, things are happening in epic proportion, like they've never seen them before. That's the Most High. You know, that's definitely the Most High. So we're going to Leviticus 26, we'll start at verse 27. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, and I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins.
Mm.
And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. He's going to throw you right on top of them idols that they're out there worshiping. Show you that they're not living gods. They're just man-made with men's hands. Verse 31, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. That will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. So don't send me no, the Most High says, don't send me any offerings, because I'm not going to accept them. 32, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at you. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste, as it is now. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. 35. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it.
Deacon Abiram, let me say something to the people, and this is for y'all that think you know it all because you listen to a lot of camp YouTube videos. Did you hear what Deacon Abiram just read? He ran us out of the land so that the land could enjoy the Sabbath by getting rid of the sinful people and getting rid of sin out of the land. What makes you think where they are and where they're fighting right now is the land he's talking about? Nobody thinks about that. The land where we will be and where we will belong is enjoying its Sabbath right now. And he had to drive us out because we didn't keep the laws and commandments. We were acting like the heathen. So do you think he would drive us out for acting like heathens and then turn it over to heathens and let them make the land abominable? No. What you think you know, people, you don't know, because you're still following man's manuscript and his story. You need to be reprogrammed and allow yourself to find and learn the truth. But it does not start with you trying to amass knowledge. It starts with you seeking first the kingdom of Yah, his righteousness and his commandments. Because no matter how much you know, at the end of the day, you got to evangelize your soul. I just had to bring that up. Go ahead, Deacon Abraham.
Well, that's right, though. That's like it says, good wisdom. 36, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into your hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. They shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursue it. And they shall fall upon fall one upon another, as if it were before a sword, when none pursue it, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. 39. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity, in your enemies' land, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they accept the punishment of their iniquity. You see also, it's not only our iniquity, but also the iniquity of our forefathers that we need to repent from.
Right.
42. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. Land also shall be left of them, and shall endure her Sabbath while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept for the punishment. There it is again.
Read it again.
Okay. Land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath while she lieth desolate without them.
That tells you right there what I just said. The land he drove us out of, it is desolate right now. It is not that place in Tel Aviv where 250,000 homosexuals gather every year to celebrate the gay pride parade. It is not that land over there where Khazars and Caucasian people have the highest rate of skin cancer. It is not that land over there where the Palestinians and all of them are fighting over all of those things. I'm not here to try to like get you to say, wow, that's deep. No, I'm not about that. I'm not that brother. Because I don't even want you to focus on trying to find out where it is. What I need you to focus in on is the fact that you have been listening to information that's distracting you and keeping you from building your relationship with Yah. What did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13? To the writing of books, there's no end and learning of things. What is the whole duty of man? Fear Yah and keep his commandments. But here's where we fall short. We don't understand the brevity and the intensity and the scope of the word fear. If you fear him, you'll think twice before you do anything in life. And half the things you do on a daily basis, you wouldn't do because you know he can cut you off, kill you, crack the sky, give you a disease, a venereal disease, something could happen to you. But you don't fear Yah. You take your chances like everybody else at the crap table with your eternal soul.
You're definitely right about people not. You're definitely right about people not fearing Yah, because you know you talk to them about you. Don't you fear Yah? But see, the problem is they don't believe. They don't believe that they say there. You know, I believe in the Bible. I believe in Yah. But they do things, and you bring up the fact that hey, do you fear Yah? They say they do, but they don't fear him because your actions will betray you. I mean, you're still out there doing wickedness and doing things you're not supposed to be doing. Well, you don't fear Yah because you're not fearing his recompense.
Unfortunately, Deacon Abraham, our people want to intellectualize the Most High, and they want to figure him out in their brain. And if it's something that they cannot conceive or grasp onto it, they don't have enough faith to launch out on faith, worship him and praise him and experience him. And if you don't have enough faith, you will not experience the power of the Most High. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Faith is the substance of everything you can't see and anything you hope for. You can't explain the Most High to anybody. If he tells you to do something, well, your peace and your deliverance comes through your obedience, which is better than any sacrifice you can make. And he knows that he doesn't have a lot of you all's hearts or minds as it comes to his telling you what to do and what not to do. So therefore, you have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. Go ahead, David.
Brother V. Yeah, but mm-hmm. if he would only like some of them say, if he would only send me a sign, you know what Yeshua said about that sign, that a wicked generation seeks a sign.
Right.
So people don't want to use that faith. You know, they want show me. You're like they're from Missouri or something.
If he said it, I believe it. If the Most High said it, I believe it. That settles it, because that's all I have in this wicked world is his word. And I've got to take solace in that. Let me veer to the left for a minute. It's just like this whole thing about people trying to flee to Africa right now. And it's become very clear to me this week, because I realize that every nation that has an army is secretly setting up military bases and establishing and preparing for a major foot war in that region where the original man came from and where we know the Garden of Eden is. So here you got these countries telling you to come home, but they won't give you citizenship, won't give you protection. But in the name of H.R. 1242, the executive order that's accommodating you because it's been 400 years you've been in slavery, they're setting you up to come back to a land that's about to be in disarray. Because all of the world's resources lie on that continent. And they'll do anything to get their hands on. And so they're getting greedy. And so you're fleeing over there. Oh, we're going to Ghana. We're going back to the motherland. You better sit still, because he said, I'll gather you. Go ahead, Deacon.
But yeah, and you're right about that. That brings up another thing where people are getting ahead of themselves and you know, high-minded. So I'm going to go over there, you know, because that's where we're supposed to be. Now, just like you just said, the Most High said he'll gather you and bring you back. You don't need to be pulling up stakes and running somewhere. He don't need your help. The Most High don't need your help. But you sit tight and do what you're doing. And like I said, when the Most High is ready to bring us back, as he said he would, well, then that's when it'll happen.
I was one of them who was ready to go back and go visit Ghana and prepare and think about it. But I realized that it's a very unstable region, and that the leaders of every one of those countries inside that continent is selling their country out to the Chinese, to the Russians, in the name of the resources that are much needed to continue with the capitalism that all these other countries experience and benefit from. Like there was just one resource by the name of coltan. Coltan is used by Apple, Samsung, Nokia, Metro, PCS, all of these people to make these cell phones. And without it, they couldn't have cell phones. So they're not going to let that region go. And for some reason or another, as much as they rape and pillage the land, the resources never deplete. They keep renewing themselves. Do you think they're going to let us go back home and go there and push them out? Not going to happen, people. Our deliverance is only going to come at the return of Christ. That's when we'll see deliverance.
Hallelujah.
And we won't see that if you're not living righteous. This is your eternal soul at stake. This is your life. You're playing with your baby's life. You must hold out till the end. You must be patient. You must not give up. If you fall, you must dust off your pants and get back in the game. This is real. This is not a joke. Now, he loved you enough to wake you up and call you. Now, the rest is on you. Will you fight for it, work out, strive, do the things necessary? Let's continue with the reading of the law.
Yeah, and praise Yah in all matters, no matter what happens to you. You thank him, because what has happened, it could be happening for a reason. I'm gonna go ahead and do 43 again, start at the top. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despise my judgment and because their soul abhorred my statute. And that's how it is today. You know, when they were, you know, these Sunday preachers and telling you the law is done away with, they abhor the Most High's statutes. 44. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Most High, their Elohim. The Most High doesn't break covenant. He's not like man. 45. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their Elohim. I am the Most High. 46. These are the statutes and the judgments and laws which the Most High made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai and the hand of Moses. See, the Most High gave these laws and statutes to us. He gave them to Israel. He didn't give them to any other nation. He gave them to us. So that's why we need to obey them and stick with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no other way to live. You've already been in the world, brothers and sisters. You already know what that's about. It's an exercise in futility. You're either going to have a hangover, a broken heart, a broken marriage, a broken checkbook, bank account. You know, Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy. What seems like pleasure for a temporal moment is just, it's not eternal. And unfortunately, we as Hebrews love to turn up to try and appease our pain because we've done it for so many years. For 400 years, we would turn up to block out the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress disorders that we have from being up under the curses that the brother just got through reading about. But there's nothing that can block out that pain except coming back to the commandments, which is Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, 1 through verses 14, that tell you what the blessings are for us when we keep them and do them, and what will repeal the curses. So, and that's one of the things that when we come back from this break, I'm only going to give you a brief summation of the lesson I'm going to be preaching tomorrow over at our fellowship at the Gathering in Oakland that we'll be doing every Saturday at 10 a.m., which is why the broadcast has moved to Friday night. And I'm going to go into it just a little bit tonight. In the future, in the coming weeks, I will be showing you the rebroadcast of some of these live services that we're having, but I'm not going to rush to do that. Nevertheless, we have to begin to deal with something that our people don't know about, and that's being delivered from us and some of the sins that we need to set aside and the things that these curses have put upon us.
Yes, and we need to pay attention to when it says that those laws and judgments, those statutes were given to us, given to Israel, because see, we try to be like the heathens. Those laws weren't given to them, and just because they eat pork and shellfish, you know, we're not supposed to be like them. We're set apart people. I mean, you know, they can eat that pork and they can do that, and they won't suffer the same consequences that we suffer, because these laws were given to us. It wasn't given to them.
Yeah, you know, the Most High, he said he made us in his image. So we made him jealous because we wanted to eat what they eat, serve like they serve, party like they party, worship like they worship. He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up this Gentile dispensation and I'm going to let them be grafted in because I'm going to make you jealous like you made me jealous. I'm going to allow them to come in to provoke you because you felt like what I offered you wasn't enough. So we provoked the Most High. So in Acts, the 10th chapter, he allowed for there to be an apostle for the Gentiles and an opening to the Gentile dispensation so that a remnant of them will come in. Because trust me, the majority of them will be destroyed, according to the book of Amos, Zephaniah, and Zechariah. And, of course, Obadiah.
You know, well, and you know, it hurt Brother Samuel's heart when the nation wanted a king. He knew the Most High was our king. You couldn't have a better king. You couldn't. I mean, it's like you getting steak and you saying you want pork chops. I mean, we want to be like the other nations, and that really hurt Samuel's heart. Them asking for a king like the other nation. We're not supposed to be like them. Like I said, we're a set apart people. Most High said he chose us and that we are holy people unto himself.
Right. And we got away from that, and he told Samuel the prophet, it's okay. Go ahead, let them have what they want to have. Because, see, the Most High, he don't want you if you don't want him. He's not about to play that game. Some of y'all understand how that used to be in your old relationships. Like, all right, that's cool. I got you. You don't want to lose it out. And, of course, that's how come we have a split kingdom. And Israel is separate from Judah. And this is how we lost the kingdom. This is how David lost control of his family. This is how Solomon lost his mind and lost his kingship. Sin, temporal enjoyment. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal, according to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the last verse. So, yes, sir, we must keep the statutes, laws, and commandments and make them a part of our everyday life. And let me say something. You will not see the effects of your consistency until you're consistent, okay? A disability is not inability. I said on Wednesday. It takes time. And how dare you rush it? And we have a problem with our arrogance as wanting to put on a suit, coat, and jacket and become a CEO the moment we put the suit, coat, jacket, and tie on and want respect as a CEO. If you haven't gained that or proven yourself or learned what you need to learn or taken any losses yet. So
is the Most High not trying us?
Yes.
Is the Most High not trying us? He wants to see whether or not you just did it for a season or because this is the thing to do, but are you really, really, doing or willing to do what he wants you to do and doing it with sincerity?
That's right. There's patience. There must be patience in the process. Let me tell you something. When you come to him and you get baptized, you're not all changed right away. You go through a sanctification process of where you strip things off and you learn things about yourself and you become like Shaul. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I continue to press toward the mark. Because why? The race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that endures to the end. Why else? Psalms, a just man will fall 7 times. Okay? And every time you fall, David lets you know that the Most High is willing to make provision for you, but he wanted you to take a page out of his book. You must be broken and have a contrite heart and be truly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. This is what he expects for you, because he makes a way of escape. And he will restore you, which is why he gave us grace. Not to live as any old kind of Christian lives on Sundays, living in sin, and come on Sunday and repent. No, not that kind of grace. Grace for the mistakes that you might make in this commandment walk. But you don't look to make mistakes. That's called premeditated murder. Yeah, sin is death and separates you from God. When a man sins, you are dead to him. So when you sin, you have committed premeditated murder, and we know what that gets you.
Death penalty.
There you go. Because I know for a fact the Most High makes a way of escape. But we won't get into that. We got into that at an earlier time a few weeks back. I recall that.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to add to the laws before we go ahead and take a quick break?
No, I'm good. That is the reading of the law, and thank the Most High for bringing the law to us, because we know the law is grievous. Us trying to take hold of and obey these laws is grievous. That the Most High, when you look at it, he's not asking a lot from us. He's giving us a whole lot, but he's not asking a lot for us. So that's the least we could do.
The least we can do. Hallelujah. When we return,
hallelujah,
we'll talk about what the lesson is going to be on tomorrow, Most High willing. The anointing destroys the yoke.
Royalty, royalty, royalty.
Power to the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. Yeah, that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Okay, hopefully you all can hear me now. We ran into some technical difficulties. Deacon Abiram, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah, we lost some people. Just kicked us out of the lesson and the music station as well. But nevertheless, we keep on going. If you're listening via the internet, I'm sorry about what transpired. But if you want to call in again, the guest call-in number is 213-769-0910. And if you have a question or a comment, you can press 1 so I know you're there. I don't know how long it's been out, but we're going to go ahead and continue. So, as
about
I mentioned,
4 or 5 minutes.
Okay. About 4 or 5 minutes, you think?
Yes.
Well, did the music, was the music still playing?
The music played all the way through.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you know, Hashatad
thinks that the night belongs to him, so you know he's going to be trying to get it out, try to interfere with what we're doing here.
Well, he can't hinder us, so we're going to keep it going. All right, brothers and sisters, I'm going to give you a brief summation of something that I want to talk about on tomorrow, Most High willing, and talk to you about it tonight, because my heart goes out and is very concerned for my people that are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and we don't understand the depth of that verse in that scripture. The destruction means the destruction of your soul, which will lead you to hell. And the knowledge is the fact that your mind will not allow you to acquire knowledge, because it's not that knowledge is not vast or there, but you don't know how to take hold of it, process it, and apply it to your life. And then some of us just refuse to listen to the truth that will change you, because truth is a hard pill to swallow. And I wanted to talk about tonight the scripture that says, the anointing destroys the yoke. And many people, it's become a cliche, especially in the Christian church. And when they say the anointing destroys the yoke, they don't truly understand what that means. When you look at, it originates from Isaiah 10 and 27. And I'm going to read the 27th verse, but let me read the first verse so I can put a little bit of it into context. I'm not going to go in depth with this lesson right now, but I'm going to touch on it so you can hear some of this. It says, woe unto them, Isaiah 10 and 1, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. That's saying a lot right there as it pertains to my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. You prescribe for yourself what you want to hear, and you write decrees and that write grievousness. The things that you write that are grievous and the things that you find grievous, you prescribe to them. You signed up for them. That's your prescription. You went to the wrong doctor. You're taking the wrong pill. You're seeing the wrong doctor. You're taking the wrong medicine. The scripture starts off saying, woe unto them. Now, this whole chapter is talking about the bondage that has come upon Israel. But let's go ahead and skip down. Let's go ahead and skip down to the 27th verse where they get this, the anointing destroys the yoke. This is why I'm truly bent on not just having a pocket full of precepts and having a gathering and having a service, being baptized and repenting, because there are yokes upon our lives that need to be destroyed. The Bible told us to lay aside every weight and the sin. He separates them. Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. There are things that are weighing you down that you carry into the Sabbath. There are things weighing you down that even after the Day of Atonement, you keep it with you. You let these things that weigh you down stay in your life, and you refuse to let them go. Not only that, pet sin that you know you're weak to, that you struggle with, and he's pleading with you in this hour to get rid of both the weight and the pet sin. But what has happened is that they become yokes in your life, and you are in bondage. You are a slave to these things because you do not want to be set free. And I will tell you tonight, this black man will tell you tonight that he that the sun sets free is free indeed, but you're not free because you don't want to be free. All you want is a head wrap, some fringes, a camp to identify with, talk to your brothers and sisters about your problems, but you don't want to truly repent and turn from your wicked ways because you need the anointing to destroy the yoke in your life. And the reason why a lot of us aren't experiencing the anointing is because Brother D was saying at the beginning of the show, we don't believe in the power of Yah, we don't have faith, and we don't fear him. Most of you don't even believe in half the miracles that you read in the Bible. You're like, that's a fairy tale, that's a fable. Like the brothers that got up on the radio preaching 2 weeks ago that the entire Apocrypha is a fable. I already told them, woe unto them, and deleted them on Facebook because they're playing with blasphemous words and are in danger of hellfire for calling the words of Yah fairy tales and fables, and throw that book in the garbage can. Exactly what they said. Listen to what I want to say to you, that. What yoke am I talking about? There's a yoke on us, and it's called post-traumatic stress disorder, as being slaves, part of the transatlantic slave trade, the sub-Saharan slave trade. We have been a part of that. We saw 100 million of our people killed, 80 million indigenous of our people killed,
We're still being shot and killed down in the streets. But guess what? Deservedly so, because of Leviticus 26 and Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy 28 and 48. And let me go ahead before I finish this anointing destroys the yoke. Let's read Deuteronomy 28 and 48. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Most High shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. You need things. None of you are living without a need here in this last captivity called America, little Babylon. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed you. See, your slave master, Esau, no longer had you picking cotton and chains and slaves around your neck. He got you. He broke you. You actually think you're a Democrat, a Republican, or a conservative, or a liberal. He's already broken you. You know how to act when you're around him, and you won't dare get out of line, which is why he puts your mind back in check to the Willie Lynch letters and the post-traumatic stress disorder by shooting your babies and let them lie in the streets uncovered for an hour and 2 hours and let you look at that and suffer all of the traumatic events that are inside of our DNA. This is why he will allow Hollywood, Satan, to keep coming out with movies, Color Purple, 12 Years a Slave, Django, everything else, to keep telling you, don't you forget what we've done to you, who you are, and how the chains may have been broken, but we own you, we control you. So the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 28, you would live in fear, and you are living in fear. You're not free. Your only freedom is going to come when the anointing destroys the yoke. Now, what is the anointing? The anointing in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance is Mashach. And Mashach is translated into Mashiach. So believe it or not, what people don't understand, especially in the Christian churches, when he says the anointing destroys the yoke and is going to destroy the yoke, it's because Yeshua, which means salvation, when he comes, he is the Christ, the anointed one, and he's going to bring the anointing and finally destroy the yoke. But I'm here to tell you tonight that he gave us this promise in Deuteronomy 28, that we could live a peaceable life and incur blessings if we would keep the statutes and laws and commandments. Because in doing so, we put an anointing of liberty and freedom on our lives. How do I best explain that? A Maya Angelou poem, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Some brothers say, I might be in prison, but my mind is not in prison because I'm free in my soul. Takes me back to saying that he that the Son sets free is free indeed. You're no longer enslaved by the circumstances of your inhabitants or your flesh, but in your spirit and your mind, the Holy Spirit has come upon you and broken the bondage of lust, alcoholism, fornication, adultery. You are no longer a slave to these sins. They've been broken. Because the anointing that comes through you keeping the commandments has destroyed the yoke because you've submitted to it. Now, I'm not talking to you that just try to keep the Sabbath for a few hours a day, but through the week, you break in all 10 of them. You won't keep the fourth commandment on the Sabbath and keep it holy and set apart. I'm not talking to you because you're not serious about this. I'm not talking to you that's still coveting somebody's wife, still coveting the lottery win, still coveting a house, still coveting a better relationship, still coveting a better job. He said covet the best gifts, honestly, the gifts of the Spirit. When you get this thing right, you become like Moses, and you want more of him, not more of the world. Oh, I'm preaching right now, and I feel like preaching because I'm mad at the devil because what's happening is our people, this is why two-thirds will be destroyed. I'm listening to brothers today that's talking about chakras and opening up their pineal gland. And that's a Middle Eastern philosophy that the people in India subscribe to because they worship the goddess of destruction, Mitzvah, and all these other demons that they worship. They want to open up the chakras. That is a satanic premise that's not in the Bible, and that's not what he told us to seek, to find a higher consciousness. No, he said to be dead to the flesh and seek first the kingdom. We're to be holy, humbled, and submitted to the Most High, the statutes, laws, and commandments. And I'm going to tell you tonight, Brother D, our Hebrew brothers and sisters don't want to hear this message, but that's why they still got a smoke on a joint every now and then. get drunk when the Bible says they that are drunk will not inherit the kingdom. You need to go and read Revelation 21 and see who are the ones that are going to be sealed right before those four angels come and destroy this earth. He said, wait. The fifth angel said, wait. Let me go seal some folks up first. So after y'all get this destruction kicking off, these people will be sealed. Do you think it's you, the one that's seeking your third, fourth, and fifth wife because she got a big booty over there and you want to be able to hit that too? You that want to have another husband and get rid of this husband and then have another husband and get rid of this husband? You doing the same thing? The Me Too movement and you living up under the prophecy of Isaiah, the third chapter, where the women would try and control us and keep the men from coming into their promise? Where are you at in society? Are you still chasing the world? If you're Friday night of getting to the movie, getting a shot of Hennessy, getting told back, getting into the statutes, laws, and commandments and worship and praise. I say this because the only way you're going to be transformed, it said, is when he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, Brother V, how do I renew my mind? Well, Psalms 19 and 7. What did it say? The laws of the Lord are perfect, converting the soul of man. We cannot make converts. You don't tell somebody, lift up their hands and repeat after me. Come into my heart, I believe you died and rose from death. If somebody tells you to stick up their hands and bow your head, they're getting ready to rob you of everything you have. And that's not what he called for. He said, repent, be baptized in water, then be baptized in fire, and then keep my commandments, be disciples, and seek me and chase after me. Turn your back on this world. Hebrew brothers and sisters, y'all getting turned up just like the world. You getting bent. You just doing rap news. You don't even know how to bow down and be silent before. You not coming to him wholeheartedly. Am I getting on you? Yes, because I see you have some of the same pet peeves and sins and weights that easily beset you still on your life, and you struggling with them, and you living by the premise of grace. You're not striving for perfection, that you're just depending on grace. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy, said the Most High. That's what he said. So there's a yoke on you that needs to be destroyed, and he is a conqueror. Are you able to say to me tonight, greater is he that's in me than anything in the world? Are you able to say to me tonight, I am more than a conqueror? Are you able to say to me tonight, Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Are you able to say to me that you have experienced the presence of Yah to the point where you were broken in tears because he said, I inhabit the praises of Israel, and you were praising him, and his presence came in the room as when Solomon built the temple and he called in the apostles and the prophets and they began to worship, play tambourines, blow the shofar, and the presence came in so thick it was like a cloud that everybody in the temple had to lay on their face and worship him. If you haven't experienced that, I don't know what you're doing. You're in the Boy Scouts Club, the Girl Scouts Club, and you're still talking about what he did to you, what she did to me, because you have not experienced the anointing, truly repented, been baptized, and are in this way. Your life is over. Every time there's a sermon, a lesson, a gathering, the brothers and sisters coming together, you need to be there. And not at the latest Tyler Perry movie. Let this mind be in you, which was also in our Mashiach. The only anointing that's going to destroy the yoke is Yeshua Mashiach. Eshua. Eshua. You can say Yeshaya. You can say Yesha. You can say Jesus because you ain't learned Yeshua yet. But it's Eshua. And it's Yesha, which means salvation. Go to the Hebrews and type up salvation in Hebrew. Strong's Concordance. Type it in. Go to Google. That's what you do anyway. Because ain't none of y'all got a library card or a PDF file. Ain't doing no reading. Y'all don't read. Nobody done research since YouTube came out. Bottom line is, let me tell you more about the post-traumatic stress disorder and the Willie Lynch syndrome. There's a thing that's happened in tangent with that. And one is called cognitive dissonance, which is upon our people. It's the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change. What does that mean? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It also means that you run to and fro with every wind of doctrine. As soon as your camp leaders say, I just found out that now the new moon is a full moon. Okay, that's what we're doing. I just found out now the Sabbath starts Saturday morning. Okay, that's what we're doing. You weak. you're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Then there's also that would exist in this world that you still want to walk in, something called benign neglect, which came about in the 60s or 70s, I believe. But it pretty much means this. You disapprove of the fact, if you describe someone's approach to a problem as one of benign neglect, it means that you disapprove of the fact that they are doing nothing and hoping. You hope the problem will solve itself. Many of you live in a state of benign neglect because you are in denial of the issues and problems you have, and with time you're hoping it'll just work itself out because you won't confront the demons that are in you, the problems you have, the demons in your friend, the problems that your friends have, the demons in your mate, the demons that your friends have, are those that the Bible said, those in that labor amongst you. He told us to confront it. He said, as a matter of fact, if you think your brother or sister has an ought against you, go to him. But nobody likes confrontation, but we all generals, no soldiers. We all chefs. We all chiefs, no Indians. Benign neglect, cognitive dissonance, keeping us from moving into deliverance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because you don't know, because y'all stay on Google for 3-4 hours, and YouTube. That is not studying to show yourself approved. There are books. If you want to go on Google, at least go to the Library of Congress and download PDF files and print them and read them and get a firsthand scholarship knowledge of the things that transpired with our people. Many of you don't know that we as a civilized nation was coming over to Mexico, which wasn't Mexico. Mexico used to be Canada, all of central United States, California, Texas. That was all Mexico. We came over here and taught the Mongols and who they called the so-called Indians. There were civilized Africans coming over here teaching them 700, 800 years before Columbus. But you don't want to believe 2 Esdras 13 and 49 because somebody put a video up on YouTube saying, that ain't true, Argus is not America. It's got to stop somewhere, people. But let me not go down that road because we have too many people that are ever learning and not coming into the knowledge of the truth, meaning you're not being set free, converted. You're still lusting after the sins of the flesh and this world. You haven't even made a covenant with your eyes. Your eyes lead you and guide you into insidious sins. You can't even control your own flesh. Brothers, I was just even saying to my wife that we were trained as kids to gawk at women, and we made a sport out of it. And a lot of us haven't even got that off of us because we can't see a sister as a soul. We see her as an object for an exploitive purpose, which pushes the Me Too movement. Because you can't control your loins. Which is why he said, gird your loins with truth. Because you're always lying about who you slept with. We need deliverance, brothers and sisters, and that's what's missing. It's holiness of hell. And it's going to take the anointing. And if you're a non-messianic maniac, you are a part of the Antichrist. You serve Satan. There's no anointing on you, and I don't want to hear a thing you have to say. At the end of the day, we must come to Yah through the sacrifice and redemption blood of Christ, be baptized like Christ was, the true, only anointed one, and follow after him in all that he does, and come out of her, my people. It's my time. Anybody want to call in any questions or comments, dial into 213-769-0910. But if you don't have any calls or comments, you will hear me preach this message on tomorrow in Oakland at 6101 International Boulevard. Not only will I be preaching that message, but I want to pray for you. I want to see you be set free. If you got, listen to this. Scripture tells us that when a man becomes swept and clean, even if you got baptized, that spirit that gets cast out of your body will roam around looking for another place to possess. And if he don't find no place to possess, he'll come back to you to see if he can get in. God forbid he catches you at a bad time where your wife, your job, something that pissed you off, and you got a bottle of Hennessy, and you pissed off at the world, talking about, I'm going to take a break from these commandments. He'll enter back in, but he'll say, wait a minute. Negro, I'll be right back. Go get seven more demons, so then eight of them, and the number eight represents new beginnings, will possess you, and a far worse thing will come upon you. And now we got to pray double and fast double to get these demons out of your life. Because the Bible tells us in Mark the 9th chapter, these kind come out only through prayer and fasting. Which is why I preached a sermon last week, said I'm staying right here. It cost me too much to get here. It was too hard fighting to get here. Fasting, praying, making sure to keep them demons off you. Why would you want to let them demons come back into your life? Because you could get to the point where you're like the man in the cemetery who was cutting himself, who could still recognize Christ, but could not set himself free. Only wanted to kill himself and destroy himself. Don't let that happen to you. Come worship with me. Come fellowship with me. And be set free by the anointing, because it takes the power of Yah to help you keep the commandments and to make it through this life. If you think what's happening in this world right now with the mass shootings, the fires, the earthquakes, the floods, you think that's something? He said it's going to be a dark day to the point where you shouldn't even be looking forward to that day. It's going to be so dark, some of you are going to panic. You're going to panic. You're not going to know what to do. Get your life right now and walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. All right, I don't have anybody calling in right now. I know we've had some technical difficulties. I can't even get on the computer. I'm using the iPad right now. So we've already had the announcements, and this has been Elderly. Dig it out, Ron. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you bring up a very good point there to lay those burdens down as we go into Shabbat. The Shabbat's supposed to be about the Most High. And, you know, and that's good for our soul when we lay those burdens down. Because you know how that works on your mind. It gets you upset when you're thinking about things that you need that's a burden on you. That's why y'all gave us this day to rest. So you make a good point when you say we need to lay those burdens down as we go into the Shabbat. And I want to say another thing also about the Apocrypha. For those people who don't believe in Apocrypha, where'd you get those books that they say you can only read, the ones that are only part of it? You got those, they got those from the other nations, from our enemies. So to say that the Apocrypha, books that were in the Bible before they took them out, is fables and all this stuff. I mean, it's that's so ridiculous because, you know, those books were part of the Bible, but they gave you this. Say, okay, you guys only read these. There's a reason they do that, because there's a lot of information they don't want you to know.
Absolutely.
And I did see that video. The guy was going in on the Apocrypha. I couldn't believe a lot of things they were saying.
Well, it's all right. He's going to have to give an account of that. We talked about it Wednesday, and he's going to have to give an account. So all we can do is pray for that brother's soul. But I know he won't get the opportunity to preach another message on my Facebook page. So he's going to have to give an account. And I don't want y'all to just lay your troubles down. I want you to destroy them this Shabbat, picking them back up after the Sabbath. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Put more on you than you can bear, and that our trials can make us strong. I want you to graduate from that problem. Move on to the next one. Okay, you passed elementary school, you got past junior high, you got past high school, you got past college, you got past grad school. Stop going back to elementary and coming down the foundation and starting all over again. Let those problems be the problems that you have laid to the side constantly, and become an elder in your community so that you can preach who are still struggling with the temptations you had. Say he's a deliverer. He can set you free. You don't have to be a slave to that. Let that stuff go. Let him destroy
it. In other words, give those to the Most High. Here you go. I'm destroying you. Here you go. You take care of it. Because the Most High will take care of it. All we have to do is get out of his way. All we need to do is get out of his way.
That's right. That's right. So be strong in the our Elohim, strong in the Lord, and the power of his might, not yours. Be strong in him. All right, you got any final comments for this evening?
No, just like I said, I felt good about the Shabbat. I was doing the Shabbat lesson at night. It's or in the evening. I mean, it's a good way to get us started going in as we're going into the Shabbat. And so I just want to pray for all the brothers and sisters out there, and pray that they get with the Most High, believe in the Most High, and try and follow all of the laws, statutes, and commandments, because as we know, they've never been done away with. And we need to make sure that we're still on the same page that he's on.
That's right. All right, Deacon Avraham, and to my Mishpachah, have a blessed Shabbat. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Get your rest. Don't think too hard about everything you've been through. Guess what? You made it through it. You're here in the Sabbath now. Why don't you go put on some music? Get your dance on, give him some praise, because he's worthy of the praises. And I'll see you on the other side, Most High willing. And like the sure absolute truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Quam Yasha Allah to all of Israel.
Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space. I got